Welcome to Obstinate Headstrong Girls. I'm Amy. Oh, I can hear you now. There you go. I realize it isn't ideal to have my camera off, but when I turned it off, the whole thing started working again.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Well, and I mean, it's not like we're ever going to put this on video.
No. And I can still see you, so I'm getting like the best of both worlds.
Oh, that's so sweet. Speaking of, do you use Spotify to listen to podcasts?
No, I use whatever Amazon or sorry, Apple's app is.
So I think this is a me problem. And like Spotify now has a video that goes along with all the podcasts. I don't need that in my life.
No, I don't want to watch people. And it's been for a long time that podcasters will put the video of their recording on YouTube for people that want to like do use YouTube instead of a podcasting app. I just don't need to watch people.
You know how if you're watching a show or something on your phone and you like kind of make it go away, then it just like hovers? That's what Spotify does with podcasts now. And I'm like, I didn't need this.
No.
I think it's probably a setting I could change, but I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, I'm against all of that because, like, one, I'm normally driving if I'm listening to a podcast, but also, like, I'm playing a game on my phone. Like, don't get in my way.
Exactly. I need to play Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm.
Although we've been learning how to play cribbage.
What?
And so, like the game with the pegs.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been playing it on my phone to learn strategy. So Candy Crush has taken a backseat.
Are you the, how is cribbage fun?
I think so. It's a fun game for us to play together. I don't really understand the strategy yet.
Okay.
But I like the moving of the pegs.
Is it a really old game? My brain is like, isn't this for elderly people?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
That feels right. Yeah. So speaking of telephones or just the internet, we've both like it's canon that we think TikTok is too loud.
Yes, absolutely.
But then it sounds like from our little pre-show discussion that we both got sucked into the conversation about the Roman Empire this week.
Yes, and if you're not inclined to follow the trend, what's happening is that someone figured out that men think about the Roman Empire a lot, and it became a trend. Like, ask the men in your life how often they think about the Roman Empire. And as soon as I heard this, I thought, like, my husband's going to give an excellent answer to this. It's going to be the exact answer the internet wants when you're asking this question, and like your brain thinks the answer should be like maybe twice a year because I've watched a movie that like forces me to remember that it existed. Did you
How often does he think about it?
did you also ask your partner?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. He laughed and he was like, literally never.
Okay. So
one of
our best friends said the same thing. He was like, I don't understand what this trend even came from. I'm like a never Roman Empire person. My husband says probably every other day, if not every day. And he doesn't know the internet. We didn't prompt him that like he should answer in a certain way. And I was like, but in what way do you think about it? And he had such a long response. Like, I should have recorded it, but I don't record my life. But what it was like this whole thing about how the Roman Empire was the first documented empire. So history really starts with the Roman Empire. So everything that we know can be traced back to the Roman Empire. So how do you not think about it all the time? And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. I love that unprompted, he just delivered so perfectly.
Yeah. And so the female equivalent is something that people keep talking about. And I've heard conflicting reports. And I'm curious what you think about that.
I heard JonBenet Ramsey which that's
What?
yeah, which like I don't actually think that's applicable here. The Salem witch trials,
Okay.
the Triangle Shirt Factory fire. But these are two like small niche of an event.
Yeah, it's
The
like
Roman
one thing.
Empire is like very broad. So,
So
and then I also heard American Girl dolls.
oh, American Girl dolls. I don't think about those in my everyday life, though. It what I heard from people, from what I saw, people were like, the equivalent is the Victorian era or the Regency, or like roughly Jane Austen. So like that era of, but then I'm like, I feel like you're talking about white people, you know? And maybe the whole conversation is really about white people, but I feel like both of like that's a very white centric culture to be like everyone thinks, like all women think about it all the time.
I agree with you, and I kind of was thinking that about the Roman Empire, but then I did see several TikToks with black men or men of color in it, and so I was like, oh, honestly, not what I was expecting, but interesting. But I do think the Victorian era is a good one.
I mean,
I do think about the Gilded Age a lot.
I love the Gilded Age so much. And I'm kind of a cheat because I read so much history that, like, I think about the Gilded Age probably 6 out of 7 days of the week because I do research in the Gilded Age. But I think, in terms of like pop culture relevance, I think about Jane Austen sporadically throughout the day for no reason, probably at least once a day. Like something will make me think of Pride and Prejudice or like something.
I'm trying to think about what I think about at least once a day. I could see it being romance novels, but that's not an era. I think the answers of like JonBenet Ramsey or like Princess Diana's death and stuff like that, like those are interesting, but it's not like a whole era. It's just that one targeted idea.
Yeah, and I think that's more a question of like, what are topics that you think on average women think about more than men? And those things are probably true, but it's not quite the same as like correlating everyday life to a historical era.
Yeah. I was also reading that there's some like, well, I don't know. Do you ever read Anne Helen Petersen?
I don't think so.
She writes this, she wrote this book called Burnout, like why millennials burn out faster than other generations. And so she just writes a lot of think pieces. And so she was kind of trying to find the cultural significance of the Roman Empire. And she wrote this interesting piece about it. I'll just have to forward it to you. I don't think I can intelligently summarize it, but it was kind of linking to like Joe Rogan brings it up a lot, but then also there's the idea of like it wasn't necessarily a fully successful democracy or republic. And so what does that like imply for our gen like our social government experiment right now? Things like that. So I thought that was interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, you should send it to me. I'll read it.
Yeah.
And if you're
It might just be.
listening and you want to read it, ping us on Twitter and I'll send it to you.
Yes, Twitter. Because as Amy and I learned this week, I have locked myself out of our email account and our Instagram.
Perfect. We can fix that. I can
We
help.
will.
I can help
We will.
because I have the email.
So I wanted to take a brief foray into NFL fashion, or just like football fashion, actually. Okay, this started because I was watching the UC Miami game last night.
Which was a heartbreaker, apparently. I didn't watch it, but my group text was very unhappy.
I mean, speak for yourself. I went to Miami. So,
That. Oh, gross.
the picture I sent you or the fact that I went to Miami?
The Miami part.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we're still friends.
Yeah, I'll just.
I did bet Kevin that UC would win. So I was invested in both teams.
Okay, that makes so you kind of had like a yay either way.
So what I sent Amy was a picture of the Miami of Ohio football coach, and he's wearing a white mock turtleneck with short sleeves and a red sweater vest. It's just a lot of look.
It's a lot of look. I don't know that I've ever seen short sleeves on a like with a sweater vest. But I do
And with
think,
a mock turtleneck.
yeah. I mean, I'm okay. I feel like it wouldn't read as a little strange so much if it had long sleeves. Like the mock turtleneck would be fine with longer sleeves, or maybe the short sleeves would be fine with no mock turtleneck, but everything together is a lot.
I do think it's like quintessential football coach, though.
Yes. And
So,
I feel like vests are having a moment.
okay, I'm glad you brought this up because I'm going to take this two ways, and one of them is to a vest town. But something you've brought up with me before is how European football coaches just like really show up for a game. So I just sent you pictures of the Rams head coach and the Chargers coach as they're heading into like pregame. Like,
Whoa.
right?
And they're like, they're giving model.
Right. Like you're wearing a three-piece suit.
I mean, Sean McVay looks like he's on the way to his wedding.
He does. He
And it,
does.
like,
And
it's a good look, but it's also a very specific wedding look.
it's very specific, yeah. And he even has a pocket square.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite coaches, and I don't really care about the Rams either way, but he's the coach where I feel like even if you don't know football, but like you go to Super Bowl parties, you might know this. He's the coach that is so active on the sideline that he has a designated coach that just follows him around and pulls him back out of the way so that the referee doesn't run into him, which causes a penalty. And so people have taken clips of that and set it to music. And it looks like they're dancing with each other as they like run up and down the sideline.
I sent you one last photo.
Okay.
It's the Miami Dolphins, and they're affirming that sweater vests are in.
Yes, and I am excited. I want to buy sweater vests. I want to own sweater vests.
Specifically, this colorful one, he looks so good.
He does look really good. So, are you? I'm trying to decide how I feel about a sweater vest with no shirt underneath.
I don't think I could pull it off, but I
Yeah.
don't hate the way this particular gentleman looks in it.
I think that's true. Yeah, I feel like for
Yeah.
me, it's going to be like a really thin, long sleeve t-shirt underneath is how I'm going to have to style a sweater vest.
Yeah. I just love the wide array of fashions. Like, Josh Allen looked like he was walking into like a slumber party in his best friend's basement. Meanwhile, Dak Prescott's rocking this like beautiful watercolor sport coat.
Did you see Burrow's outfit? It was like an all white suit.
I know I was going to ask when you were going to recreate it.
So far I've only recreated his outfit when I already owned the items he was wearing. It just was very symbiotic that his fancy coat from 1 week last year looked a lot like my fancy coat.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. And then people were like, do it again, dress like him again. And I'm like, do you know how expensive his clothes are? Like, I don't even know about like being able to find cheap dupes of like some of what he wears.
So, is your family for Halloween gonna go as 12 different versions of Joe Burrow?
Oh my God, that would be amazing. That's a very good idea.
Do
I've
you
never
still
thought.
have the gala on Halloween?
Yeah, we still have the gala, but I'm going to be out of town, so they're doing it without me, which feels rude, but it's my fault that I'm out of town. But it's a Halloween gala to support Tender Mercies, which I'm going to do a plug for Tender Mercies. They provide permanent supportive housing for homeless adults with mental illness. And so the big difference between like a temporary shelter and Tender Mercies is if you come to live at Tender Mercies, ideally you would never have to leave. If you wanted to live there for the rest of your life because that support was what you needed in order to thrive, you can stay there for the rest of your life. So it's a different service than what a shelter provides. Both are necessary, but I really love Tender Mercy's mission. And so we go to their gala every year. And for the last few years, it has been a costumed Halloween party. And my family, which roughly 6 to 8 of us go each year, will do a big group costume. And we have won the group costume contest the last 2 years in a row. So this year we are doing, well, they're doing without me, but it was my idea, a compilation of SNL characters, like iconic SNL characters.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. Last year we were the Wizard of Oz and I was the Good Witch, and I've never felt prettier in my entire life, like including on my wedding day, I think. I had this like pink fluffy ball gown and a tiara, and I was living my best life.
Oh, it was a beautiful dress. Did you get to rewear it or did you rent it?
So I kind of Frankensteined it. So I still have it, but it's I bought one of those hoop skirts like from Gone with the Wind and put
Oh.
that underneath a tulle skirt that I bought off of Amazon that was pretty cheap, and that was like the big fluffy skirt at the bottom. And then I bought like a sweetheart neckline bubblegum pink dress. And then I just put that hoop and that overskirt on top of it. So I was actually wearing like three different things at once until it looked like one dress.
Oh, well, that's smart.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of me.
We're talking about Halloween costumes now.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out what we should do.
Ooh. Are you going to couple it up?
I think so. Kevin was like, what if we go as Bob Ross in one of his paintings?
Oh, that would be pretty cute. Would you be the painting or would you be Bob Ross?
Well, see, that's where I want to be Bob Ross and he can be the painting, but we'll see.
Bob Ross is obviously the better of the two things to be.
He
I feel like
also,
one of you could be Bob Ross and one of you could be a cute little bird.
He also said that if I keep talking about him on here, that he needs to make a guest appearance. And I said, I don't
Ooh. How do you feel about that?
know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
We'll have to assess that.
I think he has to read a romance novel if he's going to come on.
For sure. For sure he does.
Yeah.
Which we know he will. So I don't think that's a barrier. So I could not remember if I talked last week about, or last time, about reading fan fiction. Did I tell you about
You
this?
have not. No.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to talk about because I spent so much time in the last like month reading fan fiction, which is a first for me. I've never really done that. And I decided to reread the first Harry Potter book, which Harry Potter, very formative for me in childhood. And obviously opposed to everything J.K. Rowling stands for at this point in life. But still really enjoy the story and the nostalgia of the story. And so a friend was telling me about fan fiction she was reading that she was really enjoying. And I was like, I kind of want Draco and Hermione fan fiction because I've heard, I just like being a person on the internet who likes Harry Potter, the internet's like, have you tried this? And I've always just been really curious what, like, how the story goes, how it's written. And so I read what I think is the most popular Draco and Hermione fan fiction on AO3. And it was really delightful and fun, and I loved it.
Oh, was this on what was the site that your friend Carla and Meg told us about?
I do think,
One of our
I think it is the same site as Archive of Our Own, which is a, like people
yeah.
call it AO3.
Yeah, okay. That's fun.
Yeah, and it's, I'm trying to see. So it's Draco Malfoy and the Mortifying Ordeal of Being in Love is what it's called. But it's aged up. So they're both adults, and Hermione is a doctor and doing medical research. And Draco is an Auror and is tasked with protecting her because she's about to make a big medical breakthrough. And it's very slow burn, but it has sexy points. And it is too long. It's like 150, 160,000 words, something like that. So I did skim through some parts of it that I was like, this is taking a long time. But it's a really delightful story. And it's so popular that a lot of fan art has been created about it. And so each chapter has like this adorable, like fan art at the top showing you like a scene from that chapter. It's really great.
Oh, you'll have to share it with me. That sounds great.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. I'm looking at it right now.
Were you feeling just a little burnout on books and wanted some variety?
I think that is what it was. And I kind of, I was already in that Harry Potter headspace, and I've always just heard how great fan fiction is for kind of creativity and kind of breaking outside of like your normal published book structure. And I've always been curious what that really meant. And I totally see the appeal. It's really fun.
Okay, that's fun. I might have to check it out.
Yeah, I'll send it to you right now.
Okay. Are you going to read any other fan fiction?
I'm not sure. It is a commitment because it's chapter to chapter. There's 36 chapters, and it is long. So I don't know that I would consistently read like one after the other. But I do think like, you know, every couple months it'll be like, oh, I kind of would love to see like what it would look like if these two characters got together. And part of it that surprised me, and maybe this is just me not understanding how it works, is it's obviously set in like the Harry Potter universe. And so there's a lot of terms and things where if you didn't read Harry Potter, you wouldn't fully understand what was going on. But if you changed the names of all that stuff, it's still just a complete work on its own. And it doesn't even fully rely on like the Harry Potter piece of it all that much. Like, I sort of assumed because they're using characters that previously existed and the reader already fully understood that maybe you wouldn't see the same amount of character growth. But I really feel like at least this one, it read like the story arc you'd want to see, even though it's using characters that the reader already knows really well because we knew them really well when they were kids, and this story is about who they are as adults.
Oh, okay. Do you feel inspired to write any fan fiction?
Kind of. I was thinking about that. But I have been working on a new story that I'm pretty jazzed about. So I haven't, it's been taking up my writing brain. But I was thinking like there are pairings that I'm like, oh, that would be really fun to even just like in like a short story form, like figure out how to make them interact, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited though that you have your writing brain back because I know for a minute there we were talking about how you were feeling a little blocked.
Definitely. So it's been I've had like a little writing breakthrough, which is really nice.
Yeah. So I read The Guest by Emma Klein.
Okay, tell me about it.
So it would be, it's not a romance novel at all. It's I don't know. I think in that garbage category of like literary fiction, which everything that is not romance or fantasy falls into. But the main character is intensely unlikable. But I had heard a lot of people talk about it on a couple podcasts, and it had become recommended, and so I thought, okay, I'll have to check it out. But it's a woman who she's in her young 20s. She comes to New York City after graduating college, and she's a like she just has no motivation or like drive and like a lack of success. But you could also look at it as it's hard to be successful moving to New York. It seems like she thought she was going to be a model. She worked as a waitress and then quickly dives into sex work, where she starts like stealing pills and money from people, gets kicked out from living with her roommates, and then starts getting into relationships as a way to have like a house to live in.
Oh.
And so she goes to the Hamptons with one of her boyfriend who's in his 50s and she's 23. And she acts inappropriate at a party and gets kicked out of his house. And so she thinks that he's just telling her he needs a break and that she should stay in the Hamptons for the next 5 days. And so it's the saga of what happens while she's out there and like how she sleeps on the beach one night, and then how she just like kind of sleeps in someone else's VRBO one night, and that kind of thing. And it's like watching a train wreck. Because she makes a lot of really bad decisions, but you don't intensely hate her. You're just like, oh God, this is gonna end so badly. Why are you doing this? And then the ending was ambiguous. So it was my first Emma Klein book.
Did you feel like you were stressed out as you were trying to read it?
Oh yeah.
So, would you read another one of her books?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I learn more about her other book because it again they come recommended, but I'm not sure that maybe they're the right book for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So next tech time we will talk about other books or reading material. And we apologize for the audio issues on this episode, but also, how dare you for listening to our personal private conversation?
Yeah, you made your choices. That's just how that goes.
Yeah. Stay obstinate.
Stay headstrong.